on today's Compassion Radio.
One dynamic which may not be so well known is after the New Year's was extended for well over a month, people could not go back to their regular jobs. There has been a reported spike in applications for divorce. Contrast couples of real faith that have used the time for reading the Bible, for reading of Christian literature, worshiping with others in their homes, and growing closer together. And then you contrast that with couples who are basically living separate lives, unable to do that.
They're forced to face the inadequacies of their relationship.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hello, friends, and welcome to today's Compassion Radio broadcast. When families are surveyed about what they wish they had more time for, one of the top answers is always more family time. Kind of sounds like circular reasoning, doesn't it? But it does state an obvious sense that we all have that people matter, and our family most of all. Yet what happens when you're forced to spend time together, whether you like it or not? Well, the results can be rather mixed. As we all face the disruptions of daily life that the COVID-19 response will entail for the foreseeable future, we're facing a threat to our patience, if nothing else. How to respond in a Christ-like manner when frustrations pile up is our new challenge. Add to that the anxiety of a real medical emergency, conflicting media, and hype, and it could be a pretty potent brew of emotional strain. So, where do we go for answers? Well, the Word of God, of course. We can also look for good examples to emulate, and that's where our Christian family in China can help. They face not only a much more disruptive epidemic and draconian restrictions, they also continue to suffer the distrust, suspicion, and threats of their own government. And yet, they know an opportunity when they see it. A good friend of this program and a great friend of China's millions of Christians is back for some insight, some encouragement, and a big dose of perspective on what we face in the current emotional and spiritual climate. Friends on Compassion Radio, we're welcoming back our good friend, and we're calling him Dr. China. Dr. China, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Why, thank you. It's good to visit again.
It is your nom de guerre. We keep you kind of hidden for a couple of specific reasons. Because you are active in the country of China doing lots of very sensitive things, you are well known personally by people in the government and by organizations that are doing quiet but effective work in the country. So you have to keep a low profile. That's why we've given you the name Dr. China. But you are, in fact, a doctor, and you are a man of the word. And your organization spends lots of time helping people connect with communities, especially Christian communities, throughout the Chinese-influenced world. Anything new happening with you all in the past few months?
Why, there sure is. Just like everybody else, we're watching the virus issue, travel, changing regulations, policies, the closure of the church for their public gatherings, and it's been a fascinating opportunity to trust the Lord.
Amen to that. When we last talked about what the ramifications are of the escalation of the church and faith issues in China to a top-level government agency oversight, the expectation was that the government was going to make it very difficult to stay or try to stay private in faith, and it was always going to be a group or a community issue for them. So there was no sense of individual rights in the law. There wasn't going to be, especially with faith. But they were encouraging those registered churches to reach out and encourage all the unregistered churches to become part of the official registry, or they would be deemed threats to the state officially. Has that policy been enacted yet? And what are the ramifications of the crackdown for the benefit of the population in the coronavirus issue, and how that's affecting the bigger issue for the church and its sanctity or its separateness from the state?
The enforcement of the regulations regarding the churches has somewhat been put on hold because of the primary focus on the public health of the country. And for obvious reasons, that's not frontal in anybody's mind right now.
Okay. Is that a good thing, you think, or is it going to become more of a problem later?
Well, I don't think that there's any indication China is changing the direction that they're moving.
Yeah.
When our friend in the government said casually, we're going to give it 2 years and hope that the house churches will register, And if they do not, then we're going to shut them down. I don't know if this hiatus with the virus will move out that two-year span, but I certainly think that that's the intention of the party to do that.
Okay, so if the government is preoccupied, like most governments in the world are now, what is the church doing in the meantime, and how are they responding to the crisis themselves?
Well, it's hard to say because they're shut down, but if I may, let me just share what I sent to our colleagues and clients when the virus broke out in Wuhan. I predicted that there would be four stages to it. I put it in writing. Number one, they'll say, we have no problem.
Mm-hmm. We definitely saw that.
Stage two, we do have a problem. It's a big problem. And watch as we deal with it as only a truly controlling society can. And they use their totalitarian power, and they dealt with it. Now, there was some things they didn't expect. For example, the collapse of a conscripted hospital, most likely due to a lack of rebar. But that quickly moved to step three. They said, we have now solved our problem. And you saw that just in the last week.
Right. Does anyone out there really believe they've solved the problem?
Well, what I would note behind step three is that, of course, no one can report the actual cases except the party. And so what we can expect is from here on, most illnesses and fatalities will be from customary or other causes. The outcome will be precisely what the party predicts it should be.
I see.
And that's the beauty of controlling the press, of monitoring the internet. So that's what is going to go on.
So for your experience, being a interactive part of negotiations on many levels for many kinds of services and relief work and cooperation between the churches in China and the West, you're saying that there are four stages. You mentioned three. So what's number four?
Well, number four, adulation and praise for the leadership of Papa Xi and the party. In the China Daily, I think 2 days ago, they said, quote, we must admire the wise, courageous, and loving leadership of our great leader. And they actually have many people who are getting on the internet and they're copying these phrases. It's been estimated there's well over a million people that are paid to put out these praises. And then stage five, and I think we're just beginning to hear it now, is to rewrite history. And that includes blame shifting, denial, or whatever it might be. And in fact, we're hearing now that the whole virus was created and caused by the United States.
Yeah. That's been reported in more than one news outlet that that's what the domestic media is pumping to their own people. Are they trying to make that case outside their borders as well?
Well, they have a worldwide propaganda initiative, and certainly there's no such thing as propaganda which stays within their borders. But at the beginning, you can predict these very specific steps that will take place. And your question was earlier, how's it affecting the churches? And of course, when they began to talk about the need for social separation and distancing, as we refer to it here in the United States, which was probably a good medical call.
Typical in a very dense society, though.
Absolutely. And if you traveled in the big cities in Wuhan or down south into Hong Kong with SARS, you know, when people live in such close proximity, that it's not a bad move. But when they did that, they also shut down the gathering of the churches. And for the most part, they still haven't opened as of this week, as of this speaking. I think that's going to change. The machinery is slowly starting to move. So it's definitely impacted the believers' ability to meet together and to fellowship and encourage one another. So we need to pray for them as they feel some isolation. One other dynamic, which may not be so well known, is after the New Year's was extended for well over a month. For some, still continues, and people could not go back to their regular jobs. There has been a reported spike in applications for divorce.
Interesting.
And you contrast couples of real faith that have used the time for reading of the Bible, for reading of Christian literature, for worshiping with others in their homes, and growing closer together, for opportunities for Christian parenting. And then you contrast that with couples who are basically living separate lives, but intended to come together for a couple weeks of celebration and go back to their individual lives, unable to do that. And
they're forced to face the inadequacies of their relationships.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've been thinking about that a lot the past couple of days, Doctor, about the effects it's going to have on the American society and church when we have these forced distancings. And I understand that even California is sticking by their guns that all meeting places, including churches, over 250 people will be shut down, or at least forbidden. I doubt they actually get out there and enforce that directly, but the expectation would be that even in our society, that the government is expecting churches just to put a pause button on it.
Yes, that's where they came out. What is the number, 500 in New York? I heard 250, as you did out here recently. But because of our separation of church and state, it will be interesting to see what our government actually does with that.
Yeah.
It may not be a bad medical advice.
Yeah.
And I think each group of believers is going to decide in China or here in the USA how we best show our love for one another.
We might say that we could and should worship wherever we are. But there is, or at least should be, an expectation that being together with God's family is really something special, to be cherished, and to be protected. The Chinese church absolutely knows this to be true, and they are willing to risk their lives to make it happen. So my question for you is, what will you do if your congregation has to shutter its doors for a time? It's probably not something we ever would have really considered until now. We'll be back with more insight on how faithful Christians can and do face challenges like these in just a moment. First, a word on how you can help a church around the world through Compassion Radio in their hour of crisis. The what and the where for Compassion Radio has always been at the very leading edge of where God's hand is at work, anywhere in the world that might be. Every day, we invite you to join us through your faithful prayers, actions, and giving. The importance of your partnership with us in 2020 has never been greater. Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes to John until our faithful partners, and that means you, step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. So I'll ask you this, will you help us do that? Your gift today is absolutely essential to make that possible, and I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
Because of our separation of church and state, it will be interesting to see what our government actually does with that.
Yeah.
It may not be a bad medical advice.
Yeah.
And I think each group of believers is going to decide in China or here in the USA, how we best show our love for one another.
I imagine that the Chinese churches, because they are watched and they know how many people are actually walking into the buildings, if they are regrouping and saying, we don't want to run afoul of the law right now, we certainly don't want to get ill as well, I really doubt they've shut down all of their meeting together. It seems to me they would retreat immediately to their strong units, which are their house churches.
I've never claimed to be an expert on the house church movement. There are others far more equipped than I am.
I'm not speaking so much about the house church movement as I am just, as we saw as we traveled last time, even within the Patriotic Three Self churches, they had units that I would call them a home church, and the pastor would visit them, and they would be between 10 and 100 people. So I would expect them to go back to their atomized units like that.
We've had a ministry that specialized in providing motorbikes and scooters for the churches. And we've had a high demand and request for those right now.
I'll bet.
Because they say, well, we can't hold the large services. Our spiritual leaders, pastors, preachers like to take advantage of whatever they can to go out into the villages and the more remote areas to care for the sheep.
So the Chinese, being very missional and always have been, they might be taking advantage of this as one of those crises that is an opportunity that hasn't been offered to them, and the Holy Spirit saying, don't waste a crisis. Make something happen and grow the church.
Absolutely the case. And we found that for quality literature that we've been able to publish and distribute, we're finding now people have more time in their homes to read, to meditate, and to really think about eternity. And we're praying, and I'm sure Christians all over the world are praying, that what may have been meant for evil at some point, you know, God will turn for good.
At least for those who love him and serve him.
Amen.
So then how would you ask us or advise us to be praying for the believers in those countries, especially China, which has had the most severe crackdowns as a result of this illness? How specifically would you say we should pray for the churches there during this time?
The Chinese people culturally do not want to talk about death. And there's some evidence that despite the official numbers in Wuhan, that the crematoriums were fully utilized. And so we don't know the total number of deaths. Perhaps we never will. But we do know that a country's been forced to think about eternity, their mortality. And I think the most obvious way to pray is that the Christian community will continue to share the message of hope. And there doesn't need to be the fear of death. But when we're faced with it on a global scale, what a wonderful time for us not to be morbid, but to remind people that when the angels announced the birth of the Savior, they said the words, peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. And what a beautiful message we have this year.
Okay, let's focus back on ourselves for a minute, fully absorbed in their own problem, as if this is the only thing in the world that's happening and we're the only people to which it is happening. We are panicked now in this country in some ways about this foreign disease coming to us. And yet, of course, we know it's a natural thing. As it came from the natural world, there could be spiritual forces afoot here, but God is sovereign. We confess that. But we're dealing with our emotional response to things we cannot control. How would you be advising us to be praying for the church, the family here in the West?
I think very similar. Perhaps we do not have the same cultural fear of discussing death, talking, even joking about it. But I think we ignore it through our entertainment, amusements, and our raw materialism. It's interesting to me when you dissect the word amusement. It's self-explanatory, isn't it?
Without thinking.
Don't think. And maybe losing the NBA, Major League Baseball, being able to, I turn on my television set and I can't find anything to amuse me. Perhaps in some way the Lord can use that to make us really think about the shortness of this life, what comes afterwards, and can bring us back to something of substance.
The Lord's been impressing upon me the past few days to be thinking seriously about his goodness and dwelling on that, speaking of it, discussing it, searching for it in the scriptures, and confessing that. I mean, making a message of it out of every program that we produce, we need to be reminded of and remind each other of how good God is in the difficulties, not in spite of them and not after they're done. That if it's going to be tough for people for a while, some may be wealthy and are worried about their stock portfolios because of how erratic the markets have been. Others may not have those kind of resources, but they are concerned about their health, about what might happen to them if they caught coronavirus. Others might just be worried about the disruption to their livelihood, not being able to get to work. There's lots of things people could and rationally ought to be concerned about. But we're not dealing with a rational faith when we go to Jesus, because Jesus is beyond our own reasons. He is capable of dealing with things that are completely out of our control or out of our understanding. We confess him as sovereign and as Lord, remembering that his goodness is something that we need to learn from him and not just tell him what we think is good. What do you think, if we can contrast the Chinese church that you know so well with those here in America, what is it about the Chinese believers that we could learn from right now, Doctor, about how good God is and how they experience him and how we could emulate that, especially now?
The Christians in China may be shielded somewhat from unvarnished world news. However, they are not blind, they are not ignorant, and they are not unaware for the most part of the realities of what they're dealing with.
There's more great news and great insight coming up tomorrow as we continue this conversation.
Like the grass is always greener under everybody else's sky. But right here, for this time and place, you can live a mirror of his mercy, a forgiven image of grace. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear voice of God and do his will, whatever it is, for such a time as this, for now and all the days he gives. I am here, and I am his, for such a time as this.
Can't change what happened till now, but we can change what will be. I
As we close the program today, can I ask you for something? Let us know how we're doing. Here's my direct email, which you can use anytime. BramFloria@CompassionRadio.com. Now, to reach us 24/7, to learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is manned during business hours Pacific time at 1-800-868-2478. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. I'm Bram Floria, wishing you a great day in the Lord.